Hey there, and thanks for venturing beyond the Rotunda, your Farmingdale Public Library podcast, where we often talk about literature, history, and community, but sometimes we'll answer questions like, what song or artist, upon hearing, immediately takes you back to your youth? I am your narrator, Kevin Schultz. Let's rock on. This is episode 10 of the Beyond the Rotunda podcast, a production of the Farmingdale Public Library, where we are more than just books. And I thank you for joining me for this episode. I have something special in store today. You've been hearing our theme music, Hideout, from Farmingdale's own Max Seal, since our launch. Well, today, you're going to hear from members of that very band. Ryan Bartlett, Justin Canavasio, and Cole Salaggi. You'll hear some of the great music and interesting backstories from their latest album, Permanent Repeat. And the guys are going to talk about their favorite tour stories. It was a lot of fun. So stick around for that. But first, let's check out our cover question. What song or artist, upon hearing, immediately takes you back to your youth? Music has always played an integral part of my life, going all the way back to my youth. I was introduced to music by my mother, who would play the music from her youth, the 1940s, 50s, and early 60s, on her collection of 45 records. Now, for you youngins out there, the 45 does not refer to the amount of records that she had. It refers to the size of the record. So a 45 would play one song on the A side and one song on the B side. And my mother had hundreds of these. From Glenn Miller to Louis Armstrong to Ella Fitzgerald, Perry Como, Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Bobby Darin, Bobby Rydell, Elvis Presley, Ricky Nelson, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Aretha Franklin, The Supremes, The Shirelles, The Four Seasons, just to name a few. I grew up on that stuff. Once I began to get a little bit older and develop my own style and interest, I fell in love with the Beatles, a band that had split up about 3 years before I was even born, but their music and their legacy lives on. I can remember singing along with my cousins, playing air guitar and air drums to the songs from the Red and Blue albums, which was basically their greatest hits. But if I'm going to stay true to the question, the one group from a completely different genre that immediately takes me back to my youth is ABBA. Whenever I hear an ABBA song, it takes me back to a 5 or 6 year old dancing in my living room in my Oshkosh B'gosh overalls, singing to Dancing Queen, Take a Chance on Me, Mamma Mia. But if I'm going to give you one specific song that tops my list, again, from a completely different genre, it's going to be Here You Come Again from Dolly Parton. To this day, whenever I hear that song, I can picture myself running into my mother's arms and the two of us singing together. I would stick out my pinky and wiggle it around and sing the line, and wrap my heart around your little finger. Yes, I was that adorable as a 4-year-old. Now, those are the songs and artists that are in my book. Let's find out which ones are in yours. We have Donna from Farmingdale who writes, "Hearing the Eagles song Already Gone takes me back to when my best friend at the time, Janet, and I would sing along playing our air guitar tennis rackets. The line, "We live our lives on chains and never know we have the keys," has always resonated with me. Now, Don, that's a great memory and a great song. We have Jennifer from Farmingdale who says, "Definitely The Doors. Whenever I wanted to be left alone by my siblings, I would play their song, The Soft Parade, and one by one, my siblings would leave my room. They weren't fans the way I was." Jennifer, that's a great memory. Thanks for sharing. Unfortunately, I probably would have left your room too. Laura from Plainview writes, "Even though my teenage years were spent in the 1980s, the age of leg warmers, teased hair, and heavy makeup, the first person and song that I thought of was Barry Manilow and I Can't Smile Without You. I know, I'm laughing myself. But I can remember being in my bedroom in Astoria, Queens in the late 1970s, listening to This 45 and thinking of my friend who had just moved away to Germany. I was very young, but that image is still clear." Now, Laura, that is very touching. At one point or another, though, we all could use a little Manilow in our lives. Christopher from Queens, New York says, "I have far too many artists and songs that take me back to my youth. But at the top of that list is Billy Joel. My favorite instrument has always been the piano. And whenever I hear a song from the piano man, it takes me back to my school days and the many concerts of his that I experienced with my friends and family. A specific song that sparks memories of my youth and my mother is Can't Take My Eyes Off of You by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. This was one of my mother's many favorite songs. Whenever she would play it, the two of us would dance and sing along together." Christopher, Long Island's own Billy Joel is one of my favorites as well. And I agree with you. There is nothing like the bond between a mother and her son. And finally, we have Mary from Wallkill, New York. And she says, "No artists take me back to my teenage years more than Boy George and Culture Club. I had many Culture Club posters on my walls and a few Boy George hats that I would proudly wear. My favorite song of theirs is I'll Tumble For You." Mary, Culture Club did crank out some good music back in the day. And I agree, I'll Tumble For You was my favorite as well. I thank everyone for participating. We had some great responses this time around. Music is always good to spark an interesting conversation, which you will hear in our interview coming up. Now, next month's cover question is, simply put, have you ever met anyone famous? If yes, tell me the story by emailing me at beyondtherotunda@farmingdalelibrary.org or reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram by searching Kevin Schultz BTR. And now let's turn the page to my interview with Farmingdale's own Max Seal, where, among other things, you will learn the unique way they came up with the band name Max Seal. Enjoy! We are here with Farmingdale's own rock stars, Max Seal, Cole Zalagi, Justin Canavasio, and Ryan Bartlett. Max Seal, thanks for venturing beyond the rotunda.
Thanks for leading us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Let's just jump right into it. I always start off by giving our guests the opportunity to answer our cover question. And this month's cover question is, upon hearing it, what song or band immediately takes you back to your youth? So let's start with Cole.
Oh, I think Slide by the Goo Goo Dolls.
That's a good answer.
Nice. Yeah, my mom was a big Goo Goo Dolls fan, so she always had them on in the house.
Very nice.
So probably, yeah.
Nice. Justin, how about you?
I'm gonna go with Fat Lip by Sum 41. I
Nice.
remember my dad got that record, and both my parents were just like, don't listen to track four on All Killer No Filler. And so, of course, immediately I was like, track four, let's listen
Yep.
to it. So, Fat Lip for sure.
Nice.
Very good. Ryan?
Mine is It's All Been Done by the Bare Naked Ladies. Every time we would take a road trip or just a vacation in general, my dad would burn like a little mix CD of songs. And that was always the first song on the CD. It was kind of like a little tradition he would do. So every time I hear it, I just think of like being on vacation with my family. So yeah, that's mine.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I thank you all for sharing.
Of course.
So now, obviously, you're all musicians. Let's go one by one. Tell me what your role is and what's your instrument of choice. Again, let's start with Cole.
Play guitar and I sing.
And how long have you been playing the guitar?
I've been playing the guitar since I was 5, so pretty long time. I really only started singing when we started this band, though, so that's honestly kind of on the newer side, but
You enjoy that part of
yeah, it was terrifying at first. I would get
it?
Ryan to sing everything at first, and then I just slowly started like coming out of my shell more and more as we got more comfortable and like played more shows and stuff.
Very good.
Yeah.
Justin, how about you?
Oh, I just play bass. I started playing when I was in seventh grade. My orchestra teacher kind of asked me to switch from cello because he needed more bass players, I think. And
Okay.
that's pretty much it. Yeah, I don't sing. They don't give me a microphone. And that's mutual. Let's just say I don't really want one. That's fine. You
Very,
probably
very good.
sang at least you sang at least one line on a record though.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe like a group vocal thing. I don't think I have in any singular lines.
Fair.
I think
Fair.
that
Group
counts.
counts,
Yeah.
yeah.
Sure. Ryan, how about you?
I also play guitar and I sing. I've started playing guitar, I guess, eighth grade, maybe like freshman year of high school.
Okay.
I started off on drums, but my oldest brother played guitar, and I guess I was jealous of that, so I tried to learn how to play guitar. Yeah.
Now, there's a fourth member of the band, Francesca, Frankie Impastato. So, Justin, can you tell me about Frankie?
Yeah, Frankie plays drums, and we got Frankie in the band my second year of college, Cole's first year. And it's because after middle school at Farmingdale, Ryan went to Holy Trinity Catholic School, and that's where he met Frankie for the first time. And it was only a few years later that we needed a drummer, and Ryan messaged Frankie out of the blue. If Frankie was here, she would talk about how she was at the Mets Royals World Series game at Citi Field when she got the Facebook message. And
Very good.
she saw Ryan's message and just said, I'll text you later. I'm, at the Mets game. She is a diehard Mets fan.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense that that's where she was.
She had her priorities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also the most promptly she's ever texted me back.
Yeah.
No offense, Frankie.
Well, she is missed.
Yes.
Cole, can you describe Maxio to us? What style of music do you play? What's the vibe?
Oh, geez. This is always a tricky one. I tend to say indie, emo, rock, pop. It's always some combination of those four words. But yeah, I guess in a broader sense, probably just indie, rock, pop.
Okay. Ryan, can you tell us about how the band formed?
Yeah, so Justin and I and another one of our friends, Greg, we kind of formed our own little group in, I guess it was high school, like early middle school, high school. And then Greg, one of our other friends, Matt, and Cole had a separate group. And we both took on just like playing covers and stuff. And then we decided to just merge one day. And then, yeah, I just, we came together. And then that's kind of how we started, just, I guess, born from two different, like, not terribly serious bands. Cole's band was definitely a lot more serious. They had like original music. And yeah, I remember seeing them play and going to Justin and being like, there's no way that Greg and Cole are gonna stay with the band. Like they're gonna do their own thing. This is like Cole was like in eighth grade. I was like, they're gonna be stars. Like
it's so funny because when you guys were I think when you played like your first show or whatever, you were talking about like what covers you were gonna do, and I was like, hey, if you ever need another, if you ever need another guitarist, back up the solos with some rhythm stuff. Like, so I was trying to get into your band too.
Yeah, it's funny. Look at us now.
Look at us now.
And what year was this that you merged?
I was like a junior in high school, probably going on
Okay.
senior, so 2013,
13, 14,
2014,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
So coming up on, it's over 10 years now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Weird.
Now, Maxeal's a unique name. Justin, can you tell me how the band came up with that?
Yeah. It's a dumb story. When we were kids, like in we'd go over each other's houses and we'd like log into our Facebooks on whoever's house it was. And you'd usually end up forgetting to log out. And so you'd always write something silly on that person's Facebook. And Ryan wrote something silly on, I forget which one of his it was, but it was a story. It was basically Macbeth, but Seal version.
Okay.
Like he wrote, yeah, and so he was King Max Seal. And so that was our name for our first, it was me, Ryan, and Greg's first show. It was like a cover set we did on Main Street in Farmingdale in 2013. And Ryan hated the name so much that he pretended that the promoter of the first show messaged us to say our band name was inappropriate and that we had to change it.
I definitely I think I've come a long way from that moment. I think I'm a much better person. But when you Google it, it's the only real thing that comes up. So we were on to something.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you each mentioned different songs, different bands in the cover question. Cole, would you say these bands are your major influences, or do you have others?
I think there's some of them, to be sure. Yeah, like I think when we started, we were leaning a lot more towards like the emo side of things. There were bands called like this band called Tiger's Jaw and this band called Modern Baseball were like big
Okay.
influences. And then I think as we've gone on, we've sort of turned to more like indie adjacent and like pop, like power pop bands. But those bands like Paramore and Goo Goo Dolls and this band called Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin, has always been like a pretty constant influence for us too. Pretty long name. But yeah, I'm trying to, do you guys, I'm trying to think of other
I feel
big
like
ones.
we covered the Foo Fighters so much, I feel
We
like.
did.
I don't know if they're necessarily
You love
a
the
big
Foo
influence,
Fighters.
but they're pretty cool.
Well,
Right.
we did start, like when we merged the bands, we had three guitar players. And they were a good example of a band with three guitar
Right.
players, so we
Totally.
could see kind of how they split stuff up
Yeah.
amongst to not step on anyone's toes and stuff. So yeah, that's
Yeah.
true.
So now, Cole, I'm sorry, Ryan, I'm curious about the creation of a song.
Sure.
Can
I think
you like is there one lyricist? Is there one composer? Do you guys submit different options and then you collaborate from there? Like, take me through it.
I would say mostly that last thing you said. I think it kind of sparks from one of us, just an idea or a line or something, and then we'll try to kind of hash out like a basic frame of it and then bring it to everyone. Just to be more productive, like if we come, I don't think we're really a band to be like, hey, listen to this lick and then like build a song around it. I feel like people who can do that, I think it's really impressive, but that's just not us. So usually like Cole or I will have like a little outline of a song and then we'll bring it to everyone else or send it and then we'll kind of just work on it all together. Yeah, I would say that's mainly it. I feel like over the years it's definitely become more and more of a collaborative thing, which is really fun just because at least, like, I don't know if I can speak for everyone, but it feels like a lot less pressure on a single person, which is nice. I think, like, I don't know. I think it's definitely just a collaborative, fun thing that we get together and do every once in a while. But
it's funny because I feel like as it's gone on, it starts more separate and ends up more collaborative. Whereas before it was kind of somewhere in the middle.
Totally. Yeah.
But
so generally speaking, you have the lyrics first and you add the music in.
I don't know.
Not always. Yeah.
It's kind of different every time. Okay. I feel like I'm notoriously coming up with lyrics like while we're recording sometimes.
Yeah.
Because that's the hardest part for me. And yeah, I don't know. But
it's fascinating to me, the whole process. I've been a writer in my career, and to add music to those words, I don't even understand it. How you can do it and make it work. And you guys do.
Thanks. Yeah, I think everyone's different. Yeah, I remember hearing this that band Lake Street Dive, is that what they're called?
Oh yeah.
I think one of the writers in the band said that like their writing is like baking a sourdough loaf. It's like you're pulling from the same starter each time, but then it comes out as something different. And I just really liked that comparison. Cool. I feel like that's similar vibe. Like I think we all kind of have our base and then we pull from that to go from there. I just think it's a cool comparison. Yeah,
I like that.
That stuck with me.
How long would you say the process is for like one song?
Oh man.
I feel like that can definitely range.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There have been songs that come together so quick, I feel like. And then there are other ones that have taken actual years for them to come to fruition.
Yeah.
Like you put it on the shelf and you come back to it later.
Definitely. Yeah.
That or it's just like we feel like, or at least I get it and I think it's done, and then all of a sudden we're recording it and we're like, let's switch all of this around.
Okay.
Yeah
even sometimes I feel like on each record there have been songs that like the initial idea was like years before and we were either like too nervous to show the rest of them, like the band, or like someone finally realized like had to orchestrate it so that it'll work out, or
yeah it is fascinating. Now this year is the 10th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of your first self-titled EP.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Secondly, Justin, can you tell me about that experience?
Oh yeah 10 years is a long time.
That's
ago
crazy.
Yeah. I think it'll be 10 years in August, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 10 years.
That's what my research said, yes.
Yeah. Yeesh. I personally remember walking into recording that EP. We recorded the whole thing in Ryan's backyard and some of it in Cole's basement.
Wow.
But I remember recording most of my parts in Ryan's backyard and being like crazy with anxiety. Even though it was just like we recorded ourselves, there was no other one. There's no other person there. It was the same five of us. Cole did all of the mixing and mastering on that. And I feel like we had set a deadline for him of like having it done by a certain show we were playing, if I'm correct, Cole.
That's messed up.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, like I think we needed the deadline because it probably would have gone on forever.
Sure.
Do you remember that show that happened in...
Yeah,
I do.
The, like, garage show.
Yeah. I feel like we set that show as a deadline to have it out by.
And probably. I remember we had the CDs.
Well, yeah. I remember... I think I was, like, quote, mastering it. I don't really know how to master stuff. But I was mastering it. And I think you were with me, Justin, in my basement. Yeah. And then I just remember us all in Ryan's...
Oh, I was cutting
living
the...
room. Oh,
I
yeah.
was cutting the CD spring out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like very extremely DIY. But, and then, I remember us burning the discs in Ryan's living room, I think.
That took so long.
Yeah.
We burnt like 100 CDs or something.
We burnt 100 CDs and we wrote like out of 100 and a little saying on all of them.
Yeah. I wish I still had one.
I might have some. I have to go digging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys were young pups. I mean, you guys couldn't even drink then.
I'm
2015. I was 19.
Yeah.
Wow. I think it was the summer before my first year of college.
It came out just before then, I was 19. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And now, how many albums do you have to date?
We have 3 EPs and 2 albums. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your latest album is Permanent Repeat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about and hear some songs from today. Justin, tell me how that album came together.
This was the most fun I've had recording an album, for sure, looking back on it. We were fortunate enough to spend, or we were smart enough, I should say, to plan a bunch of writing days the winter and spring before we recorded it, or leading up to recording it. And it was a nice, relaxed process, I think, for all of us, if I can say that, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But then we were...
Mostly.
We recorded it at our friend Billy's studio in Whitestone, where we just had what felt like a lot of time to record it in comparison to our last album, which had to be recorded in like 7 days.
I think it was 5.
Yeah.
It might have been
and then it was 2 days of mixing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So if anyone else wants to talk about that, please. The recording of this last album.
It actually almost reminded me of the vibe of recording our first EP.
I can see that.
Because like it was because we recorded it ourselves, the first EP, so we would just be like hanging out with our friends and be like, oh, maybe we should do vocals for this song, or like maybe we should do like hand claps with us and our friends or whatever. And I feel like because of the extended amount of time we had in the studio, it was a lot more like, oh, let's throw this at the wall and see if it sticks. Like we got to mess around with the vibes of different songs and try things that we definitely wouldn't have been able to if we only had 5 days. And then Billy is like, I think one of our closest like musical, like friends we met through music. So it didn't really feel like there was a like scary authority figure being like, you have to play this right now.
It was almost like a full circle moment because Billy was at that first.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You beat me to it.
The show that I was just talking about.
Yeah.
For our first EP, Billy was at that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember being so scared of him for some reason. He just, he's like covered in tattoos and so cool looking. And I was like, I don't want to talk to him. And meanwhile, he's like the sweetest person on the planet.
Yeah.
Big influence, big help.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Wow. That is like, crazy, actually.
When we asked for a mandolin to record the first song on this new record, he jumped up and ran to go find one in like the back of his studio. It was really funny.
He was giddy.
He was, that's the word. Yeah. He was,
just very open to whatever, which is cool.
But let's talk about some of the songs.
Cool.
Cole, tell us about the title track, Permanent Repeat.
Oh, okay. This is actually kind of one of those ones that started like years before we actually recorded it. I think the first demo I made in GarageBand might have been the same year that our last record came out, called Super Enthusiast. That was in 2019. But I had this, it was sort of like heavy acoustic guitar song. So I was like kind of nervous to show it to everyone because it felt sort of different and maybe like sort of floaty and kind of not super like our usual vibe.
Okay.
But I remember feeling good about it because Justin was like, I really like that last section, the part where we sing the words permanent repeat. So I feel like that made me feel good. And like, I'm like, oh, maybe we should probably work on this more then. And I remember Ryan saying, I think Ryan was like, why don't we just call the record Permanent Repeat? I think, right?
I think so, yeah. It was one of us, but it's a great name.
But that was a cool song to work on in the studio. And because that last part that only that says Permanent Repeat only happens once, and it happens at the end of the song. So Frankie was like, we should have a little interlude before that kind of hints at that section. And then there's like the payoff becomes even bigger at the end when it finally happens again, but bigger. So that comes before that song, and it's called October. And that was kind of inspired by this Sidekicks song. I forget exactly what it's called, but it's on their last record, Happiness Hours. And they kind of do the same thing. They like tease the catchy part of the song acoustically, mm-hmm. and then they launch into it full band.
Mm-hmm. And there's that collaborative effort there with Frankie's suggestion.
Yeah, I feel like she's kind of the person that a lot of the times one of us will bring an idea and she's like, why does this happen? And then you kind of go, oh yeah, why does that happen? We should do it like this instead. Or like that should only happen once. Why is it happening four times? And mm-hmm. just stuff like that, that I feel like it's so close to you that you can't really see until you bring it to other people.
Yes.
So I feel like that, yeah, that's always a really valuable part of like bringing something you worked on alone to everyone else, because they can kind of expand it to something that you couldn't see yet, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of any other tidbits about it from the studio.
I don't think so. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I will say I started writing it. I went to college in Boston, so did Frankie. And there are a couple Boston references in it. This place, Ringer Park, that I used to go when I would have sort of like, I was going to say mental breakdowns. Maybe that's too strong to say, but you know, when I'd be really stressed or anxious or something.
When you needed to get away.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a line that's panicking in the square. And that's actually Harvard Square. I don't know if you guys know, okay. But
I didn't.
But yeah, I always think of Boston when we play that song.
Interesting. Ryan, you want to talk about Dinner for Two?
And I'll tell you where I'm calling from. And I'd sit down at a table for one. We told each other it's all the same. But without you down the block's a mile away. A mile away.
Sure. I feel like this one's kind of opposite of Permanent Repeat in that I feel like it came together kind of quickly, at least the initial song. I think I started writing it like before we left for a tour, and it's mainly just about like being away and missing my wife, Jess, and also just the rest of my family. But I guess on a more general scale, just like, I don't know, just being apart from someone that you really care about and how hard it can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's kind of a lonely-ish song, but I also feel like it's kind of a sweet song because it's like, I don't know, it's making me reflect on a lot of stuff that I'm grateful for. That one was kind of hard to put together in the studio, I would say, because like the initial version of it was just me and acoustic guitar, and it sounded very like country, like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it, like someone should have been playing a washboard with it and a spoons right. or something. But I'm trying to think how it came more to be what it was like. I really love that band Always with two V's. I feel like I mention it all the time, but I think the guitars in that song, I feel like we're really inspired by a lot of their stuff. That one was also a really fun one because I felt like it's very different for us. Like we've had a slower song before, mm-hmm. but this one was the first time it felt different to me, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a fun one. I like playing it.
And I did notice when I was listening to the album, there was a different tone to it
sure.
from your usual stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is always a good thing.
Totally. Thanks. Anyone think of anything else on that one?
I think we were also talking about Elliott Smith when
Definitely.
We sort of changed up the feel from, and I think we were saying it sounded too campfire-y.
Yes, that's the proper,
like,
the proper
sitting
term.
Around the fire, like, yeah, singing a folk song and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we also were sort of drawing from this project called The Japanese House.
Mm.
They have really cool, like, fluttery guitars that sort of come in and out of, like, each ear. And I think we were trying to, like, get a similar, like, ethereal, floaty thing like that.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
I think you may have succeeded.
Hey.
Thanks.
Justin, tell us about Golden Harbor.
Yeah, Golden Harbor was the single, like the first single for this album. And this is another one I think we had for a while. We were playing it live for a long time, I think, before the album came out. I like this one as a direct contrast to Dinner for Two. Because I feel like, well, Ryan was saying, like, Dinner for Two is about, you know, missing your family and your loved ones while you're away. Golden Harbor is about just having an absolute blast while you're away, like just having a ton of fun. And that's literally, that's like the dichotomy of going on tour. That's what it is. Like, you'll, one second you'll be having like the biggest laugh, or like you now have the best story to tell your friends when you get home, or you're just sitting in the van missing everything that there is about home, you know? Right.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a Cole song too, so I'll ship this one over to him if he wants to add anything else about it.
Sure. It was first, I think it started in maybe like 2021. It was like pretty peak lockdown,
right?
And I was just, you know, sitting at home. I feel like everyone had so much like fear and anxiety during that time. And I was just thinking about like when we first went on tour, and if there was, you know, 10 people that showed up, we'd be so psyched. And if we found some good restaurant that someone local to the city we're playing, like, told us about, like, it made our day, and all these like very simple pleasures that we didn't have access to. And it was just kind of reflecting on those really fondly and hoping that we can get back to it soon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We should add that Golden Harbor is the name of a Chinese food restaurant in Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah.
That is one of our favorite restaurants to go out of our way to stop at while on tour.
So good.
Yeah.
Shout out Illinois.
Yeah.
Also a little Frankie shout out. She managed to get some cowbell in the second verse of that song,
yeah,
which she was really proud of.
You can never have too much cowbell.
Yeah. Gotta have more cowbell, baby.
Gotta have more cowbell. So, full disclosure to our listeners, we are recording this episode in February of 2025 to be released in May of 2025. And we're doing that because you guys are going back on tour. And you've toured a lot over the years, and you've alluded to some of it already. Cole, can you tell us some of the places you've been to and where you're going next?
Sure. We've done a lot of touring in the U.S. and a little bit in Canada. Last year, we were lucky enough to tour Japan and some of Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. And that was just such a surreal, amazing experience.
Wow.
And then we're going to be going to the UK and Europe in April and May, and that'll be our first time going. And we're super excited about that. We're also going to be touring the US again before that too. Yeah.
So does anybody have any entertaining tour stories you can share? Remembering that this is a family show.
Anyone got one loaded?
I feel like I have two in mind. Justin's probably picking on them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do one from the Japan tour. Just like we went to Japan and then we did a show in Hong Kong, a show in Manila, and a show in Singapore.
Wow.
So we arrived in Tokyo for 2 days before the tour started. And then after those 2 days, it was 9 shows straight. And then we went home.
Wow.
So the craziest part of that tour was the last show in Tokyo, with the next day being in Hong Kong. The show went great. And then the promoter throws us an after party. And so we're out to like 2. And we all pile in the van more than is appropriate, I think.
Right.
More than we're seated, supposed to be seated in the van. We get back to our Airbnb and like our tour manager, our friend Jake, is just like, yeah, we got to be at the airport, like leave for the airport by 4. And so I don't know how many of us slept. I know I didn't. And so like an hour and a half later, we're in an Uber on the way to the airport to go to Hong Kong. We get to the airport, we get a morning flight to Hong Kong, and then the promoter in Hong Kong is just like, let's take you on a tour of the city. Let's go.
Wow.
And so like we're going on like 24 hours straight, and then we get into the city, we're doing all this, you know, stuff going around. By the time the show's over there, we're like no sleep. And then we get into the hotel room and it's so tiny. And the there's a picture of Ryan and I on the bed together with our feet hanging like off. It was just one of the, it's probably the craziest I've ever felt while on tour.
Yeah,
absolute like manic, no sleep, but just having the absolute time of my life.
Yeah, the epitome of the tour life.
Yes.
Yeah. Because yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? Not tour Hong Kong?
Yeah.
You
know? Right.
You got to go.
You're here for like 16 hours. You better do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So going into the Japan tour, did you realize you had a big following there? What were your expectations?
I think we kind of had an idea. Just because online, I feel like every once in a while we get people saying like, come to Japan, which is like kind of a big ask, or at least we thought it was at first.
Sure,
so we're like, sure, yeah, like eventually. And I kind of never thought we would. And then Jess, my wife, and I actually went to Japan on our honeymoon in the February before we went on this tour. And we met with the person who booked the shows for us, basically, just to like, I was like, I feel like I don't believe this is a real person. We're going to get scammed. But he was real. And I think that kind of put it into perspective, like, oh, I guess there actually are people here who want to see us. But I think my expectations were pretty low until we got there, and then it was kind of blowing out of the water. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good.
Definitely.
Anybody else have a tour story?
I was just thinking, I guess more of a, there's two. I feel like there's the one where we're driving in California.
Okay.
And then the, like the Willard, Missouri one.
Yeah, okay. that's the one that always comes to mind.
I don't know which one is better though.
You could, I feel like we could tell an abridged.
Okay, cool. So the first one, we were on tour with this artist named Chris Farron, and that was probably honestly one of the most fun tours I think I can remember. Just I feel like he was
riding in the van with us.
Yeah,
he was a solo.
Yeah, okay. And he's just a really fun person to be around. But we were driving. Where were we driving, Justin? You have a much better memory than I do.
We were driving through like north of Redding, California, through Mount Shasta into Oregon.
Okay.
Which like usually would be a beautiful drive, but in the middle of February at night is a really terrifying drive.
Okay.
So we had a hotel booked.
Especially when it's blizzarding.
Yeah. it was like we saw like signs to like put chains on your truck. And we're like, we don't have chains. What are we like? There's no way we're going to. And you could like kind of feel the van fishtailing a little bit. And we decided that, you know what? We're going to eat the money we spent at a hotel and just stop right here and then keep driving in the morning. But I just remember we were all like kind of laughing and having fun. And there was a single moment where everyone was silent. No one said a single word. Frankie was like white knuckling the steering wheel, which props to Frankie for doing that drive because that's nuts.
He's done a lot of our most terrifying drives.
Yeah.
You couldn't see like 3 feet in front of you.
Yeah, it was quite silly. Yeah. But I think we learned that it's not worth doing that and we're never gonna do it again. So I think
Lesson learned.
Yeah. And the other one, Colt, do you want to tell it, Colt, or give a shot at it?
No, you got it. You got it. Take it.
So we're on tour with this band called Pool Kids. Shout out Pool Kids. And that was also a really, really fun tour. That was one of our early tours, I would think.
That was the first tour we went out to California.
Oh, yeah, true. That was our first full U.S. tour. And we booked a show in Willard, Missouri, which is like kind of a small town in Missouri. And
it's where University of Missouri is.
Yes. So I guess not a small town. Okay. I guess that's not a small town.
It's also a large town. Where we played in Willard, Missouri.
Yeah.
Was the smallest of towns.
Yes. It's also where we get Cole?
It's where Chapel Roan is from, if you know her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I will get to that, but because I have a theory that she was at the show that we played, but I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, we played at this point we had played a lot of house shows. That was a very common thing to just someone would set up a speaker and you'd play in someone's house.
Right.
So we're going to what was going to be a house show. And we get there and it's this like house on like, I don't know, 100 acres of land. It was actually really beautiful around the outside, but we didn't realize until it started getting later that we were playing like a kegger party in the middle of Willard, Missouri, where the University of Missouri is.
Right.
So we're just these nerdy emo indie rock kids playing a show. And the show part was actually really fun.
It was outside.
Yeah, that was nice. And there were a lot of really nice people there. But then like people came later in the day who definitely just wanted to come to a kegger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people drinking. And none of us were, obviously, because we just wanted to get out of there. And we parked our van in this one area saying like, all right, we'll play. We'll say thank you. And we'll just get out of here as soon as possible so we can get to the next show, which was in Nashville, which is a very long drive.
Right.
And we parked over right by the exit, which we didn't realize until we were about to leave, was right on top of like a pretty muddy, grassy part of the whole entire property. So at the very end of the night, we can't leave. The van is very stuck.
Wow.
We're pushing. The drummer from the band that we're touring with goes to the football team of Missouri who was at the party.
I think they were sponsoring the party.
I think they were. And says like, you guys look like you think you're tough. Like, you think you can get this van out of here? And we had probably their offensive line behind our van,
right,
pushing it, trying to get us out, would not budge.
Wow.
So we ended up having to call AAA. And of course, the truck gets there and there's a million cars parked in the one-way street to get to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the driver comes up to us and says, I got to come back in the morning. Like, there's no way I can get your car right now. And we had to plead with him, like, please, no, like, you got to do this. We need to get out of here. And we ended up being the last ones to leave the party because everyone else left around us. And then we drove, I don't know, 8-9 hours to Nashville. And then I had the best nap of my life.
Yeah.
Then this happened. Oh my God. But yeah. Also, I think while the AAA person was showing up, a fight broke out like in the driveway. It felt like we were in that movie, like Project X.
Yeah.
But we get to Nashville. We drove overnight.
Except no one was having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare version of it. But we get to Nashville after driving overnight, get some sleep. I wake up. I have to get something from the van. We're playing one of the biggest shows we've ever played the next day in Chicago. And I grab something, whatever I need from the van. I slide the door closed and my finger gets slammed.
Oh no.
And luckily Frankie's girlfriend, now wife, Mia, was with us and she's a nurse, so I ran back inside with my like messed up looking finger. And the only towel nearby,
in like the mud room, and he walked in and saw me first and he's holding like a dirty towel.
The only towel nearby was the towel we tried to put under the wheel to get it unstuck. So I'm holding my open finger in this dirty towel. Justin was like, you shouldn't do that.
But don't gotta be a nurse to know that.
But luckily we got it sort of patched up and in a little sling. So there's pictures from that show, and you could see that I had just have this big sling on my finger. Luckily, it wasn't too intrusive, but it was a wild couple of days.
Yeah, you didn't break it, did you?
I think I fractured the very tip, but I don't think there's much you can do at that point. Yeah. You just got to keep it, like, hold it steady.
Yeah, it was your strumming hand, so that's good.
Yeah.
That would have sucked if it wasn't.
Damn. But it was just so funny. We were like, thank God we're out of that situation. And then I'm like, hey, guys.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I wish.
Those are some good stories.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you have a favorite song to play live?
I really like playing. That song Golden Harbor live is really fun. Just because Cole and I have this little like guitar solo moment, which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I also like playing the song Your Door on our new record too, just because that's just kind of a higher energy one. And then honestly, a lot of our older stuff is fun too, just because people like it a lot. But sorry, that was kind of an answer. All of them. I love playing.
Right, yeah. Well, of course. They're like your kids. Yeah. You love them all.
Yeah.
Justin Cole, do you have anyone in particular?
I'm excited to play the song Afloat on this tour coming up.
Okay.
We're going to try and play it every day, and I've been really looking forward to that. One song I love playing that we never play is called Old Halls.
That's also, yeah.
I often get vetoed about playing that song, but you know, when I do, it's even that more special, you know.
Right.
It's a pretty tough song.
Yeah, it's so fun though.
It has a lot of potential to fall apart if we if we mess up.
Okay.
But it makes it very satisfying when we don't. I really like playing this song called Safe Spot off the record from 2019.
Okay.
And I'm also really excited to play Afloat. It's just a very rock song.
It's a good one.
We get to kind of jam out at the end.
We were just talking about touring. So Justin, what's your favorite city or venue that you've played?
I saw this question when you sent this. It's tough. One of my favorite cities, every time we play here, I love it, is Asbury Park in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We played there last spring at Asbury Lanes, and that was one of the coolest venues I've ever played, but also it's Asbury Park, and I just love that town.
Sure.
So going there is always fun. Really, there used to be some places I didn't like going, but now I feel like you just gotta, like, you make the most of everywhere you're at, so it's hard to find a bad place,
right?
You know, where I'm like, oh, I really don't like this, you know.
I'm kidding.
We should have a comeback show there.
We should.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is anyone else have any favorite places?
Oh, I feel like the obvious one is Boston.
Yeah,
Frank and I were going to school there, we played a lot of like DIY shows there, and now every time we go back, people just love going to shows in Boston, and they love having fun at shows, and it feels like a second hometown to us, we say a lot.
Definitely. Chicago.
Chicago's great.
I like Chicago a lot. Where else?
I enjoy San Diego a lot. Mm-hmm. The city is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just any of the West Coast cities are great too. I love San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Portland's grown on me.
Portland is.
I will admit. I'll admit I did not. I was not a huge fan of Portland the first time I went, but it has really grown on me the last few times. I really enjoy going.
Yeah.
Seattle's awesome.
I'll throw out Denver.
Yeah.
Ever since the first time we played there, they've been really nice and cool to us.
Trying to think of a specific venue. We played
Mississippi Studios in Portland.
Yeah.
We played one of the reasons I started liking.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good show. That area was cool. Great American Music Hall in, it was like Bay Area, right?
Yeah, in San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool, yeah, a lot of like old theaters. What was that one on the Wonder Years tour in?
Oh, Royal Oak Music Hall.
Royal Oak.
That might be my favorite.
That was amazing.
Michigan, outside Detroit, that was beautiful.
It was like an old vaudeville theater. Yeah. So it was huge. It was really beautiful and definitely haunted, but it was cool.
I also did really like that place, Blueberry Hill. in St. Louis.
Definitely.
Chuck Berry, I guess, had like weekly or monthly residencies there. And I think a bunch of celebrities have like passed through. It was cool seeing that.
Love going to Austin too.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we have good friends in Austin. Shout out Megan. But yeah, every time I'm there, I have a great time. Yeah.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get back to some of the songs from Permanent Repeat.
Cool.
Cole, tell me about Beach Vacation.
Beach Vacation. Actually, I think this is also, I was trying to figure out the oldest song. This one also, I think, started in Boston. I often joke that it's about aliens and podcasts because it kind of is. There was this podcast that the comedian Pete Holmes hosts. It's called You Made It Weird.
Yes.
And he had an episode with Gary Gulman, who's this other comedian. And they were talking about depression, and they said something like, if you're not happy on the plane, you're not going to be happy on the beach. And I was like, oh, I like sort of how that flows and like the sentiment of that. So that's right. Sort of what became the chorus. There's also the Ryan and I always joke about if we started a venue or a bar that we'd call it the electric blanket or the blanket electric.
Yeah. On
the mood. But so that's also mentioned in the song. I whenever I sing about it, whenever I sing that line, I think of this bar in Boston called the Ave,
because
that was like our little neighborhood bar that me and my friends would go to. But yeah, I like the song a lot. I think it has a lot of Weezer in it, maybe. This one also we kind of did a lot of. I feel like on paper it's kind of a simple song, but I feel like we had to work a lot of little stuff out in the studio.
Yeah.
I think we changed the key to kind of fit our vocal range a little bit better. We raised it up a little from what it originally was.
Right.
There's a line in it that says, write a song in G, and it's no longer in G anymore. It's in A flat. So, but we kept it because we were like, that's kind of funny that it doesn't match. Yeah. I'm trying to think. We did some sort of chopping and screwing with Billy to like sort of get the song to build in a cool way. Yeah. I think one of my favorite parts is the guitar part in the bridge that Ryan came up with. It's a cool one. Anyone else have any tidbits?
I find it interesting where inspiration can come from. Like you mentioned the podcast and you know, places from Boston and they get in there.
Yeah. It's funny what sticks with you. Yeah. Oh, there was at the very end of the song, it sort of like fades out into just like acoustic guitar and vocals for like the last little bit of the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy recorded that. He just stuck a mic like really far away from me and just picked up me singing and playing. And his studio is sort of in a complex with other rehearsal rooms. And there was this questionable like metal band sort of rehearsing at full volume while we're trying to do this really super delicate, quiet, like emotional part. And at the end, after like I strum the last chord, you can kind of hear some crazy noise in the background, and that's them like rocking out. And I think in the moment, Billy and I were like, I think that take might have been ruined, but we were like, no, it's cool if you keep it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was curious about that part. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we know. Ryan, tell us about Four Legs. Four legs scratch the classroom floor.
Yeah, I feel like this one was one of those ones that I had for, or we had for a while. I started writing it when my niece Sophie was born, which is over 5 years ago at this point. So, yeah, I think it was the first time that my family had someone new in it. And it was kind of a really cool feeling to like just have this brand new person in our lives that we just instantly loved. And I think when we readdressed the song after like the pandemic and just like kind of reflecting on being away touring and stuff like that, it meant even more to me just because it's like, yeah, like I can finally confirm like, yeah, this person in my family and all these people are like really important to me and I love them. And yeah, I think out of all our new songs, this one's the hardest for me to play, especially in front of my parents or my brother, because I feel like I get really emotional about it in a good way, in a very happy way. But yeah, I think Musical.ly is probably the most power poppy out of a lot of the songs. There's like a ton of harmonies, and all those are really fun to record. What else?
Electric drums.
Oh, true. Yeah, there's like a little quiet chorus moment where everything kind of like takes a step back, and there's an electronic drum kit, and I'm singing with acoustic guitars. That's one of my favorite moments on the whole record, I feel like. It's just really fun. I feel like that was inspired by a lot of different artists. I think that's kind of a cool thing to add in there.
Would that make the
Yeah.
song difficult to play live?
We've kind of worked it out. I feel like at first we weren't really sure what we're gonna do, but Frankie has like a little electronic drum pad and it's been working out pretty good. I feel like ideally, like when people start to know the lyrics, like they can be the ones singing it, which would be cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a really fun one to play. I don't have to like, I don't have to think about it too much. It's just a nice strummy one for me. So, anyone else got anything else? Starting that one was hard. We had a diff couple different like ways to start it, but we ended up just starting it pretty on the dot.
I always think of this song as like a sister song to Always Hazy.
Okay, sure. I
Yeah,
don't know
I
if you feel
agree.
this. It just
I was
it's
thinking that
like
same thing.
that's
Evokes
fair.
the same feeling for me,
Sure.
yeah.
Fair.
I think this album, Permanent Repeat, is great.
Thanks.
Thanks.
It possibly your best collective work.
Thank you.
I'm encouraging all my listeners to go check it out. I'm partial to the song Hideout, since it
That's
is
cool.
the
Yeah.
theme music to our podcast.
And that
But if I'm gonna pick my one all-time favorite Max Steel song, it still is Harry,
Nice.
which I
Nice.
believe is from the album Yeah, No, I Know.
Yes.
Yep.
Cole, can you tell me some of the band's more popular songs?
Sure. I think that one is definitely up there. I feel like on this last tour we did in the fall, that one might have been like one of the ones that got the biggest response. It's very sing-alongable, if that is a term. I think that song Cats, the first song on our first EP, is one that's requested a lot. I feel like when we wrote, like when we finished that one, we were kind of like, oh, like, I think this is like a pretty good, lane for us to occupy. I think it kind of got us started on like the road that we're on now. We have the song Next to You, which is the song after Harry on Yeah, No, I Know. That one, I think. It started getting used in a lot of like video game montages and stuff. It started like popping up, and so I think that might be the song that, even if you don't know us as the band, you might have heard that song
That's very interesting.
from in a Fortnite montage or like a Call of Duty, like
Trick
trick shot compilation or
Shot.
whatever.
Very odd choice.
Yeah, but something about it resonated with the gamers, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, those are all some great songs.
Thanks.
Ryan, if you and the band could collaborate with another artist, who do you think it would be?
That's a hard one too. I feel like we would all have our own personal answers, but I'll try to answer one that I feel like everyone would be on board with. That's hard. I feel like Paramore, definitely.
Okay.
I think we all just like that band a lot. That would be cool. Paramore, if you're listening, let us know.
And we know you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
we're out there.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Paramore would be awesome. I would say that band always because it's one of my favorite bands. I really like the artist Porter Robinson a lot. I'm trying to think of who would be more attainable.
I know Cole's answer is probably David Bazan.
It's definitely one of them. Yeah.
Definitely one of those answers. I don't really have anyone in particular. As I said before, when I recorded that first EP, I have a tremendous amount of anxiety when recording. So adding another person to the room like that would just freak me out.
That's fair.
If I had to record a bass part in front of Hayley Williams,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Actually, going along with your double V band names, I might also add in Howdy.
Yeah.
With two Vs. I feel like I think we're all pretty big fans of them, and especially like their production and how they record stuff. So that would be cool to
definitely
get a look inside at that stuff.
And so now you guys have done some music videos along the way. I haven't been able to see them for obvious reasons. Are the videos of the band simply playing along with the music, or is it telling a story and you guys are acting along in it? Justin?
So I think we have a total of 4 music videos out there. 2 of them. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
2 of them are us, like, you know, in it, and there's like a little story going on behind it as well.
Right.
Like we're acting out some parts. And 2 of them are like just like video montages.
I forgot about that one.
I'm partial. I'm partial to the video montage ones. Just because I love like looking back and seeing all the fun times we've had, like whether it be on tour or a recording. Oh, sorry. There's 2. I mean, there's 4.
If you're not counting the covers.
I'm not counting the covers. Get out of here. My brother recorded one for Cats with us. It was a lot of fun where we all had 4 versions of ourselves. And I wore really short denim shorts. And then we recorded one last year with a group called Sixth Sense, where we all dressed up in like early 2000s clothes.
Right.
And Cole was fighting a bad version of himself, it seemed like. And we carried around a couch everywhere.
Yes.
And we had to fight off a goose.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Unplanned.
Yeah.
We coexisted.
Yeah. I'm definitely, and kudos to Cole here, because I know he edited those 2 ones with the video montages. But yeah, those are my favorites still. Again, no offense to Sixth Sense or my brother. I love the video montage ones. Mm-hmm. I just love watching Cole. There's a video for a song, Lucky for Some, and I just love there's a scene in it where Cole tries to do a layup on me in a basketball court, and he just bounces off of me and lands on the floor.
And then there's Frankie in that music video too.
Yeah.
She's on one end of a deflated air mattress, and one of our friends at the time jumped on the other, and she gets launched into the air.
I think Justin does it.
It was Justin?
I just landed, yeah.
But Kelly's reaction really makes the shot.
It's very silly, and she probably could have gotten really hurt, but it was really funny. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Cole, where can fans pick up your music and your merchandise?
Oh, kind of most places. You can stream it wherever you normally stream stuff. We have like a Bandcamp, which is just, I think, maxhealband.bandcamp.com, which is where we put all our like leftover merch from tour and stuff. And then if you go to CIRECS.com, that's the label we put out a lot of our stuff with, Counterintuitive, and they have a bunch of merch and like physical copies of our music as well.
Very cool. Now, Ryan, I know Permanent Repeat is still fresh, but are you guys working anything else?
We kind of are, actually. Yeah, we have 2 kind of different things we're working on at the moment, which I'm sure when they're more put together, we'll let folks know. Nothing like nothing too big, but we're really excited about both of them. One I'd say is a different vibe than our past couple things, and then the other thing, it's just something new. So not to be so vague about it, but we are. Yeah, I think we're all kind of have the writing bug, so trying to take advantage of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, Justin and I usually finish by asking the question, is there a question I should have asked, but I didn't? So what do you think?
I don't know. I'm awful at this. It's like when you get asked in an interview, like, do you have any questions for us? And I just say, nope, and then I leave.
How much paid time off?
You said this comes out in May, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I can't promo the tours or anything. If you have a time machine, we have tours that just happened. Go back and no, does anyone else have questions or something that we should have been asked?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, I felt great.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, Maxio, I thank you for the time, but we're not done. I always close out by playing a little game, and the game I have chosen for you, I call Pick Your Storyline.
You must choose, but choose wisely.
So nice. I'll give you a scenario. You pick your path.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Let's do it.
Would you rather exceed your expectations at a smaller local venue or disappoint yourselves during the Super Bowl halftime show?
That's a great question.
This is very timely.
Yeah.
My immediate answer is disappoint ourselves at the Super Bowl halftime.
Really?
Wow. Do you think the good outweighs the bad in that?
Yeah.
Like I think that would just press be, is good press.
Yeah, I think that's just like, you know, a couple months removed from that, and you look back and you're just like, that was hilarious.
I don't know. I think I would rather the smaller venue. I don't think I could live with myself if we messed up that royally on the biggest stage ever.
Yeah,
I
guess a third of the population watches the Super Bowl. I mean, no one's gonna notice.
I feel that way when we mess up at a small venue. So at the Super Bowl, I feel like
yeah,
it would feel pretty rough.
I guess it depends on how catastrophic it really was.
Yeah,
but
it depends on your expectations.
True.
That's so true.
Yeah, what if we lower expectations for the Super Bowl? Then we're fine. Yeah.
I kind of agree with Justin. In the end, you can still say, I played the Super Bowl and you didn't.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a very good point.
It's a pretty big credit.
Yeah, yep. True.
You might have swayed. I think you swayed me.
For sure. Good point.
Well, thank you for playing along, Cole, Justin, Ryan, Maxiel. Give my best to Frankie. And thank you for venturing beyond the Rotunda.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, those guys were a lot of fun. Some good stories, some great music. Everyone should make it a point to go listen to more of Max Seal. Their latest album is Permanent Repeat. And they have some new stuff coming soon on the horizon. If you get the chance, go check out one of their concerts. Maybe even pick up some of their merch. I thank Cole, Justin, and Ryan for joining me. And Frankie, you were definitely missed. As always, I thank Maxio for providing us with our theme music, Hideout. Now, our next episode will continue with a musical trend while bringing us back to our roots. It will feature singer, songwriter, musician, and author John Rulo, who uses all of those avenues to muse about life, mortality, and everything in between. So I hope you join me for that one. Remember, new episodes drop the first Monday of every month. Thanks to Brendan and Natalie for all the assistance. And thanks to all of you who use a portion of your valuable time to listen to me babble on. I do truly appreciate it.
Please follow or subscribe. Share us with your family and friends. Those things are vital to helping us grow this community. Until next time, be well and enjoy wandering the stacks.